this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
This is how the King James Version reads. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I don't know if I'll get to it today, but that through God portion will blow your mind when you get that revelation. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, Joshua 6:20, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They took the city. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, we're not here to take sides. We're here to take over. Praise God. You may be seated. A new series titled Wall Breakers, Breaking Down Strongholds. Breaking down strongholds. I'm not a political pastor. I don't think pastors should be political. I think pastors should be pastors. I think pastors should preach the Word of God, because the Word of God changes and transforms lives. Any political statement that I make is not a political statement. It's a word statement. Whatever political party it lines up with, it lines up with. But I'm not concerned with parties. I'm concerned with the Word of God. And so I say that to say this, because we're going to talk about walls. We're going to talk about building walls. We're going to talk about tearing walls down. Just 2 hours south of where we sit today, there is a crisis at our border. The crisis is not people leaving. The crisis is that this nation, as bad as some people say it is, and if it's so bad as they say it is, Canada is available. Mexico is available. Nicaragua is available. China, well, maybe not. There's a lot of places, but they talk about how bad this place is, yet nobody's leaving. But everybody's coming in, because they know that here lies something of value. It's called freedom. Freedom to live, freedom to worship, freedom to pursue, freedom to be as wealthy as you want to be, freedom to be as lazy as you want to be. It's freedom, freedom of choice. And so for the last few years, to build a wall or not to build a wall, some of us have been more concerned with earthly walls than we have spiritual walls. And the enemy would like to get our eyes off of spiritual matters and get them on physical matters. Because he knows if all you look at is physical, there's no way you're winning the war. Because the war and the battle that is of the most importance is not one that we can see. And it's not ones that we can win with fists. And it's not ones that we can win with earthly weapons. The greatest battle is the battle of spiritual things. And I'm here to tell you, you can win the spiritual war. And when you win spiritual battles, you will see the splash over effect in the physical things that you and I are connected to. And so over these next couple of weeks, I want us to all focus in on not the symptoms, but the source of what we are facing. Too many preachers preach about symptoms. I want to talk about the source. I'm not here to numb you to the symptom. I'm not here to treat the symptom. I want to let you know why you feel depressed. I want to let you know why you're under attack. And the enemy would love to make your life so miserable with symptoms that you're always chasing the symptom solution instead of going for the source and going for the root of the problem. I've got a problem at my ranch right now. Bishop has the same problem at his places. It's called mesquite. And see, some of you love mesquite because the only time you hear it is when it's used to barbecue the food you like to eat. But on my place, every year, if I don't spray at least twice a year, I'm not talking about five or six. I'm talking about hundreds of mesquite saplings start showing up. When I first got the place, I'd go out there with pruning shears. When they first come up, they're little enough to hit with a weed eater. And I would just cut them off. But the problem is I would cut them off at the surface. But the root was still there. And the root is growing just as big as it all. You didn't slow down the root. You just robbed it of its fruit. But it's going to grow back bigger. And then the beasts in that field are going to eat it. And then they're going to fertilize it. And they're going to plant it everywhere they step. They're planting anew. I'm here to tell you, I am through dealing with the symptoms of life. And I want to uproot everything that rises up against the Jesus in me, the word I'm standing on, and the vision that God has given for me, my family, and this church. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it's not the fruit, it's the root. And so when we talk about being wall breakers, we'll get into who's building these walls and where these walls come from. But I love when Paul starts breaking it down to his letter to the Corinthian church, and he's dealing with believers who have not yet learned how to overcome the flesh. I know that flesh will always be flesh, but we should be able to control it better after living and walking with God for as long as we have, some of us, after being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. As much as we worship, come on, church, as much as we get in the Word, as much as we fast, as much as we operate with the power of discernment, we should not be dealing with the flesh like some of us are still dealing with it. And Paul was going through the same thing 2,000 years ago. And so he writes this in his second letter to Corinth. And he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He said, be careful that when you are attacked physically, that you don't fight back physically. It's important to know why you're under attack. You being under attack is no coincidence. You being under attack is a concerted effort from the enemy. Remember this, Job was under attack because he was blessed. Job was under attack because he was a father and a husband. Job was under attack because God called him perfect and upright. Job was under attack because he was the man of the hour that God had created and called him to be. And remember this, every day the devil was showing back up in heaven with the sons of God, and he would talk to God every day. Isn't it amazing that the devil talks to God more than some believers do? Says, what about him? What about her? And God says, oh, I'm doing big things in her. And that's when the devil says, well, if you really think that they love you and you're about to do something big, let me come at them with everything that I have. And I love, and this isn't a Job sermon, but let me just make this point, that God said you can do whatever you want to do to him, to his stuff, but you cannot kill him. Why does God say that? Because God says as long as he has a pulse, he has a future. Can I talk to somebody? The walls might be big around you. The walls and strongholds might be big in front of you, but can I encourage you today, as long as you have a pulse, as long as you're breathing, as long as you ain't 6 feet under, you have a future. Keep fighting in faith. Keep standing on the promise of God and remind the devil, you can take your best shot. You can rob me of everything God's given me, but I'm a man or a woman of the word. I know you're a thief, and the Bible says when the thief is found out that you owe me sevenfold. So try me if you dare. Come at me if you must, but I am a wall breaker. You put up the walls, I'll break them down. You come at me, I'll come at you 10 times harder. He comes at you because of what God has placed in you. Comes at you because of what God places in you. God said that he has put treasure in earthen vessels. He comes at you with cancer because of your calling. He comes at you with strife in your marriage because of your ministry. He attacks your children because of what God is birthing through you. And so when you realize, come on, church, it's not my fight to fight, and I'm not going to come at him like he comes at me. But when he comes at me, I'm going to worship him. When he hits me, I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. I'm going to pray. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to repeat the word of God. I'm going to put that worship song on repeat. I'm going to lean back in the loving arms of God. Devil, you should have taken me out when I was at the bar, at the club, and living in sin. But you let me get a taste of what it's like to be a true believer. You let me get too close to my Jesus, and now you can't talk me out. I'm not going back. The walls are coming down. I'm not going to fight you like you fight me. Can I be honest with you? 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call from someone at this church, and they were reaming me out about something not even important. And when I tell you it's not important, what's important at all? Just kept coming at me, kept coming at me. I gave them ear for at least 15 minutes. And the old Brandon, that would have been a hang-up or an hour-long dialogue back and forth. But this is what I refused to fight. I just said, I'm sorry. I don't see that situation like you see that situation. I'm sorry, you're living in a different world than I'm living in. I'm sorry, that thing is not, I don't see that like you see that. And at the end of the conversation, I said, well, I guess that's all that needs to be said. God bless you and have a great day. And this person said, I thought you'd say that. I'll take that blessing back then. I refuse to fight the way you want to fight. You're trying to break me down. I'm breaking walls down. I don't have time to fight you because I'm fighting my way through. I don't have time to verbally spar with you because I've got too much more important things. If I'm going to use this mouth today, it's going to be to create something that God has promised me. It's going to be able to speak life, to speak resurrection. I'm bringing walls down. You can keep trying to bring me down, but I'm going to keep coming at you. I'm going to keep doing what God has called me to do. And the devil's trying to break you down because he knows what you're capable of and how many walls you can break down. That makes more sense when you're attacked, when you can look at it that way. You should take it as a badge and a stripe that the enemy is coming after you. It means that you are valuable. It means that you have something to give. It means you have something to do. It means the calling. Listen to this. If the devil is going every day to accuse the brethren to God, if he's going every day to ask permission of what he can do to the believer, can I just say this? Maybe the devil knows the plans of God for your life more than you and I even do. Oh, come on, somebody. He's there every morning. Before you woke up, he was standing there saying, hey, can I attack Brandon? And before he even got the audience with God, God was telling Michael, hey, Michael, get ready. I'm about to bless Brandon. Get ready. Hey, Gabriel, come here. This is what I'm about to do through Brandon. And the devil's standing there saying, my God, I better stop Brandon. I better break him down, because if I don't get to him, if God's word comes true, all heaven is about to break loose in San Antonio. So I pray, I read, I listen to the Holy Ghost, and I know the plans that God has for me. Then the devil shows up, and he punches me in the face. And then I just smile back at him. Thank you, Mr. Devil, because you just told me something I didn't know. I didn't know I was that close. I didn't know God was going to do it in May. I didn't know that there was a 2021 blessing like that. And then he comes at my family. Oh, thank you. I didn't know that God's power was that strong on my children at this point. And then when he comes at me in my marriage, oh, I didn't know that me and Mandy were on the brink of something greater, of something stronger. Then he messes with my money. Oh, thank you, Mr. Devil. I know that God will supply all my needs, but oh, there's a big blessing around the next corner, and you just tipped your hat. Come on, devil, give me all you got, because all you're doing is telling me how special I am in the eyes of God. Hit me with your best shot. Hit me with, because I promise you, his best shot is better than your best shot. His best shot was 2,000 years ago. It's called the cross. It's called resurrection. Devil, you are a defeated foe. I don't know why you're even walking around here with your little chest puffed out. You were kicked around 2,000 years ago, and if you keep showing up in my house, I'm going to kick you around like you are defeated. You're trying to break me down, because you know that I'm a wall breaker. I'm a stronghold puller downer. Not even a word. We'll just chalk it up. Because of Jesus, his power, I do not fear what the devil has planned for me. Because Jeremiah tells me that God's plans for me are not of evil, but they are of peace, and that there is an expectation, an expected end, and a destiny that is in front of me. Child of God, I've come to encourage you today. 2021 might have been a hell of a year so far, and that's because the devil's been coming at you. But let me remind you, you're breathing today. It's why you're at Living Way. And you sitting here, and you didn't know that you're going to get all this today, but this preacher came to remind you that God's got a plan for your life. There is still a future ahead of you. There is another chapter. Can I just encourage you to flip the page? Can I just encourage you to not stop? Can I just encourage you to take a deep breath and keep on moving? Strongholds are coming down. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm a wall breaker. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. They're not carnal. Does that mean that God is anti-gun? He's anti-gun when it's used to murder people. You don't want to show up at my house unannounced, uninvited. I live behind a locked gate 500 feet off the state highway. It's not me you should be worried about. All I have is a pocket knife, and Mandy bought me a 25-pound asp that I keep in my truck, ASP, not the other one. Mandy's the one you should be worried about. This girl, no exaggeration, throwing knives, throwing stars like ninjas. She's got tasers. She's got pepper spray. She's good with a bow and arrow. And if that doesn't get it, she's got a 357 Magnum. I told Tyler the other day, I said, God forbid someone break in this house because we're going to have some explaining to do when the sheriff shows up and he's going to say, why does this guy have an arrow, a throwing star, three knives, and then you emptied the clip? What? Why? Guns were never created. They were created, but were not created to murder people. We use them to defend ourselves. So our weapons are not carnal, they are mighty through God. I love the fact that God has given us weapons. Say, what weapons do I have? Praise is a weapon. That's why it astonishes me that you'll sit where you sit and watch them praise. You're watching them get really good with a weapon that we all need to know how to use. Worship is a weapon. And when we worship, and there are people that are twiddling their thumbs, and I'm not talking about people that it's their first time in church and they've never been around a Spirit-filled New Testament church, full gospel church like Living Way. I'm talking about people that this is your home church. I'm talking about people that grew up around this. I'm talking about people that have been living for God for years and years and years, and you watch somebody else worship. You are not supposed to watch somebody else practice and rehearse with their weapon. It's your weapon. And listen, well, you're not going to fight for me? Listen, honey, I got battles I'm fighting myself. And Monday through Saturday, I'll pray for you, but I'm praying for me harder. I'll worship, but I'm worshiping for me harder. I'll end with this, Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Mighty through God. This is why praise and worship are important. Prayers go to heaven. They literally, the Bible says they're an incense that carries to heaven. Worship and praise don't go up. Worship and praise bring God down. If you go to Daniel, I've never heard anybody preach this. If you go to Daniel, it's where we get the Daniel fast. Daniel prays a prayer of deliverance. For 21 days, the prince of Persia, the prince of the air, fought to keep those words from getting to God and from God's word to get to Daniel. When the angel finally shows up, he said, Daniel, we heard you the first moment you prayed it. But there was a prince of Persia that withstood us, and we had to fight our way through it, fight our way to it, fight our way to you. 21 days it took us. So when I pray, sometimes I don't get a quick answer. But you know how I fix that? I don't send my prayers to him. I bring him to my prayers. And when I praise and when you worship, the God that you pray to steps in the middle of your hallelujah. When you begin to dance, when you begin to sing, when you begin to jump, when you kneel your knee, when you worship, when you bow down before him, God steps over the balcony of heaven and steps down. Now when I pray, they don't go to heaven. They go straight to his ear because he's right there, and not carnal, but mighty through God. If you pray and he's up there, those prayers, that weapon has to take a trajectory to go all the way to heaven into the ear of God. God speaks, comes back down, all the way back down. You say, Pastor, is that why some of my prayers take a little longer? It's exactly why. But what I've learned to expedite the trip is that a hallelujah on a Tuesday, that a thank you, Jesus, on a Friday brings Jesus to ride shotgun in my truck, brings Jesus to sit down on the edge of my recliner, that brings Jesus to wherever I am. And now, because my weapons have brought him here, My prayers don't have to go there. They're mighty through God. Prayers still work. This might take a little longer. That's why I teach that when you pray, you praise first. Chris and Heather can tell you, our dream team next door, we meet every Saturday at 5 o'clock, have devotion, have prayer before the service. Every time I pray, doesn't matter if it's over food, doesn't matter if it's over the service, I start off saying, God, I thank you. You are a good God. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your hand. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for saving me. Boom! He's right there with me. It's no longer this. It's this. And so when cancer's in front, God stands between me and cancer. Boom! Through God. Stand on your feet, Living Way. Stand on your feet. We're wall breakers. Didn't even get to Joshua. We're wall breakers. Pulling down strongholds. This is one of my prayers. And we're beginning to see it at this church in a very real way. I want to say this as kind as I can, and it will be self-deprecating all in the same time. I pray for a lot. How many of you were raised Catholic? You grew up in the Catholic Church. Raise your hands. Hands up all over the building. I pray for believers that were raised in Catholicism because from a young age, they have it drilled into their mind. Got to go to the priest. Got to go to the priest. Can't read the Bible. Got to go to the priest. You sin, you got to go to the priest. You need communion, you got to go to the priest. And number one, you don't have to go to any man. I don't care how perfect he or she is. And I think time has told us that a lot of those priests need to go to Jesus. But my prayer is this. I want to teach Living Way and everybody that comes in this room or watches online that you don't need me to get to Jesus. You come here and you get a great sermon on Sunday. You get a great sermon on Wednesday. You get some counseling when you need it. But on Monday when I do not return a message, on Thursday when I do not pick up the phone, all is not lost. You can reach out to God and say, God, I'm going to bring this wall down by myself with your help on. Jeez. I appreciate good pastors. I do. I love them. But it's impossible of a church this size for one person. That's imperfect. You're fighting, I'm fighting. You're building marriage, I'm building a marriage. You're raising kids, I'm raising kids. You're paying bills, I'm paying. We're all in this together. I'm blessed that at 9 a.m. I get to sit there as a saint. Just hear the word of God. Every other month on Wednesdays, just hear. Why? Because I'm building an arsenal. Because I know that walls are going to be there. That God has called me to pull down strongholds with the weapons. I want to open up this altar right now to some wall breakers that you've broken through some things, but there's still some things yet to break through. I want to encourage you. The walls only get bigger. The walls only get stronger. The cities only get more fortified.